Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
This beat in the background just makes me laugh, bro. Oh, man, what a summer. What a summer, man.
Crazy year, man.
Very crazy.
It's about that time for the yearly wrap-up.
Yeah.
Kind of talk about everything that happened this year.
Man, it was a fun year.
Yeah. I hated my Spotify wrap this year.
Well, didn't hear all the mess, and we're going to talk about Christian Harris here on the Loop on Sports Radio.
You just reminded me. I meant to bring it up.
Yeah, and that's...
I hated mine. That wasn't accurate.
Well, yeah, that was something that a lot of people discussed because it felt like a lot of people had that same feeling, and they brought it back. I don't know if this is like fully confirmed or whatever, but a lot of people speculated with Spotify laying off quite a few people, if that harmed the way that I mean,
did you like your Wrapped?
I don't use Spotify.
Figgy,
so. Yeah, I use Tidal too.
What's the matter with you guys?
I'm engraved.
I can actually give you the reason why I use Tidal if anybody actually cares. I will try and make it quick. I did not use a music subscription site when I was a little younger, when I was still in college or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to say that, but I'm going to make you old. That's fine. Or feel old, rather. But then when Prince passed, all his entire
catalog was on Tidal.
The catalog was on Tidal only. And so I was like, I'll get the trial version.
Okay, well, that's fair.
That's actually why I got Tidal, because of Jay-Z. His whole catalog was only on Tidal because he was part owner of Tidal. And so I didn't want to miss any new releases and nothing like that.
That was another part of it, too. But yeah, I think Prince got me in, and then I stayed for like the higher audio quality. And then I tell myself that, oh, they pay their artists just a little bit more, so that must be better, right?
All right, good.
But yeah, that's where I'm still there. But... Christian Harris. I don't have a segue there. You're just going to have to deal with it. But Christian Harris.
Anywho.
Yes. So.
He's killing them.
And right, now got the segue. For something completely different.
That's right. Christian Harris, who was phenomenal in the game versus Miami. Obviously, the defense in general was very good. But Christian Harris came in and played incredible. In fact, you don't have to take my word for it. Let's hear from D'Amico Ryans. He was on the coach show with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, as he always is, after a game. And this was him talking about the performance of Christian Harris in game action, his first game action of the season.
Yeah, with Christian, we went in with the idea like, man, we can't let him go and play the entire game because he's been out, you know, for so much time. So, you know, you go in with that, but it's also a feel for the game. Like, are we getting a lot of three and outs? Are drives really long? So it's, I mean, just constantly talking to Christian, how are you feeling? And, you know, we got Jake Hansen in for, again, for Christian for a little bit, and Christian's still bouncing on the sideline. he still can't wait to get back out there. So, man, I'm proud of Christian, just the effort, everything that he, man, showed, all the work he put in. Like, I thought he played really well, sideline to sideline. Yeah. That's who Christian is. His speed shows up instantly when he's out on the field, and he makes one play, like, looks like he tackles the guy with one hand.
Yeah.
And it's almost a touchdown. It was a touchdown saving tackle, but it just shows his speed, athleticism, his length to be able to make those touchdown denying plays because of his athletic ability. Yep. And he's going to continue to grow and do more, but man, couldn't be more happy for him.
You and me both.
Y'all both sound like proud papas.
I was a proud papa, but in terms of like his playing time, what did I say? 20 to 30%?
Which
is what I thought.
Yeah.
82%?
That is correct.
My goodness. It was pretty unbelievable.
And what made it also more impressive is it wasn't the coaching staff, as I think we all knew, like that there was a level of caution to the point where, I mean, I understood where Ron was coming from betting you on the idea, because it's like the caution that this team seems to take.
And that's not something they showed.
Right? The caution that they seem to take with these guys is you know, very evident. They care very deeply for the players with this team. And you heard it there. D'Amico Ryan's like, yo, we're trying to monitor it, and we're trying to, and it's Christian Harris pushing this, like, no, I got to be out there.
Yeah.
And it makes a very visible difference with this defense. The words that are the thing that keeps that D'Amico kept returning to, and that I think I keep returning to, and I'm sure anybody when they talk about Christian Harris, is just the level of athleticism that he brings. There was a level of lateral movement and quickness that you had not seen from any linebacker, with all due respect to all the other linebackers that played, that he brought instantly. And so one of the things I think about is there still room for him as he gets more comfortable, as he gets more playing time, to like read and react even faster, or like have that get off or that trigger happen even quicker in these coming weeks and as you head into the playoffs? Because that's ultimately where we're going, right? Once you have Christian Harris back and he's playing 82%, I feel like, boom, there's only sky's the limit here, right? What does then that bring to this defense as you move towards the end of the year against some good teams, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and then also into the playoffs?
How good can they really get with Christian Harris? That's the baseline. Like, what we saw Sunday was the baseline for him for the rest of this season. And he's... You know, we're not going to... Yes, we are. I was going to say...
Speak for yourself.
I was going to say, we're not going to go over the top here. And then thinking something over the top.
100%.
But it's also something that has been, talked about a lot. You know, he is a Pro Bowl caliber player, you know, coming into the year before any calf injury or anything else. It was very much talked about. He, you know, some would say even better than Pro Bowl, a guy that can be, you know, a true, you know, game changing, you know, next level linebacker. You heard D'Amico talking about sideline to sideline. That is something that's special in the NFL, that a lot of teams just don't have that linebacker that can do that. He is that. So if Sunday is the baseline, just how good can they get the rest of the way? I think he kind of changes everything. I really do.
Right. Without that, all of the physicality and lateral movement and everything, Christian Harris, again, the necessary disclaimer, Pro Football Focus is, you know, a little bit more objective with their grading, and, you know, that with the objectivity, it can kind of go up and down or what have you, right? Take it with a grain of salt. But highest rated run defender on the team in this week, right? That is instantly a big change. And then also, I think one of the things that you were hinting at as we were preparing for today's show, Henry Toto did play very well, and we gave him his credit for like stepping into that role with the green dot. Like, if you're not familiar, the green dot means that you are the person who has a communication device in your helmet where you get the instructions from the play caller, and you know that is a lot more responsibility, getting other people in the right spot as you get yourself in the right spot and prepared to go and make plays and such, right? So Henry has all that. I do wonder the increased level of play that we saw from Toto. I understand, like, he has more responsibility, that with that comes some things. I do wonder how much of that is also knowing that you have someone like Christian next to you that helps cover up some of these things as you are playing. Because if you think about that, how much more does that multiplication factor happen when you have Aziz Alshaier there?
Get him back.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, look, I think that's... I think Henry Toto, and maybe this is unfair to Henry Toto.
Oh, don't do that.
He's been really good against the run.
Don't do that. No Henry slander.
I agree, but I think, I'm not going to change what I think, he was a better linebacker because Christian Harris was on the field.
Okay.
And there's no shame in that. And the other thing about Christian Harris that we didn't even get on Sunday. See, there are so many ways that he can help this team. We know the big interception that he had in the postseason, you know, but he didn't have a single pass defensed on Sunday. That's his forte.
Yeah.
Like, he is really good in pass defense. This was just him, you know, making plays that other players didn't make. You heard D'Amico talk about, you know, a touchdown, potential touchdown saving one-arm tackle, and getting to guys on the edge that ended up being a 3-yard gain instead of a 9-yard or more gain. That's what he does, and he didn't even defend a pass. You know, he had 7 last year in 16 games. He had 5 as a rookie. This is where his forte is. He's going to get better. He's going to make everything better. And then the last thing, this is where it really sort of gets me excited about what this defense can do, and this defense carrying this team a long way. You've got a guy that can change a game in Derek Stingley. We know that. You've got 2 guys on the defensive front that can change a game, like flat out, just win a game for you on the edges, in Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter.
Correct. We're playing this on the conservative side because there are some other guys that you can
maybe
start
make
making,
some big plays.
Start making cases.
But I'm talking about like over the course like of an entire game. He changed the game.
Sure.
Those 2 dudes changed the game. I think he finally have one at the line at the second level. He can change a game.
No, absolutely. I'm trying to determine if we're being unfair and not including Aziz in that situation.
I mean, Aziz is just like a bad dude that makes a lot of tackles. I don't know if it's unfair or not, but Christian Harris gets picks, defends passes, chases down guys that might have been scoring a touchdown.
Right.
He changes games.
I mean, there was one of those plays, and I can't remember what the exact play was, but all I remember is you have Christian Harris with his hand up,
mm-hmm.
right, and the ball just clears him, so like it's not like he touches the ball or like I guess directly affects mm-hmm. the trajectory, but you've got to imagine that him being there forced Tua to place it just a little bit higher and not allow him to get the ball to where he needed to. And that's huge, right? Like, how we're already talking about a turnover defense, right? And that's what a blessing to have for this Texans team, right? When you have Sting over there with 5, you got Caleb Bullock with 5, you got Kamari Lassiter, who, you know, when mm-hmm. when it goes right, he can grab the ball a few times, right? The actual turnovers of it all, but just the coverage in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then now to have in the middle, to have the coverage of Christian Harris being back. Like, where do you try and attack with this defense if you're throwing the football? Like, I do understand that we had some concerns about deep shots, but I wonder if that gets a little bit better if those guys have the comfort, those guys on the back end know that, hey, Christian Harris is patrolling some of this underneath as well.
And we've talked about tight ends coming into this game when we didn't know that Christian Harris was going to play. I mean, Jonnu Smith had a very nice touchdown, like an incredible touchdown.
He did.
But I feel like you're much better off in that game, and you're definitely much better off in the...
Didn't that touchdown end up happening with a cornerback on him? I think that was...
End of the end zone. Yeah. It was kind of a broken play kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't... No, I'm just saying, like, against tight ends, you feel a lot better with Christian Harris on the field, and especially these next 2 games.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see like how far this thing can go, right? Because yes, this team is clearly better in that instance, but like how far does it go? Because I mean, we know kind of some of the frustrations we have offensively, and we've talked about this defense leading it. And I do wonder, like, I don't think that there's a lot of other things with this particular team that I know will not be the case,
mm-hmm.
right? And I feel very confident saying I know will not be the case. But I keep thinking about the 2017 Jacksonville Jaguars that go to the AFC Championship that year. And we don't have to talk about what happened in 2018 and all the things that fall out. But like that was a team that was clearly carried by their defense to an AFC Championship game. And honestly, to the doorstep of the Super Bowl in that year.
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel like this defense can do that, especially with the addition of Christian Harris?
100%. 100%.
And yes, 8-3-2 is right. All this without Jalen.
Yeah, yeah. But no, absolutely. I mean, this is a team. You just went through all the interceptions, you know, the turnover defense and where they rank, we know. And we'll get into, perhaps more of this, tomorrow. But the defense carries this team. It sounds weird to say, but the defense carries this team.
Yeah. I'm interested to see just like how tough that can be, right? Or like mm-hmm. how strong this defense can be to that degree. Having the turnovers is really the big thing, right? We saw like if you can do similar things, and it might be unfair to expect exactly what that was against the Miami game, but where you're giving the offense a short field and you're giving them more opportunities to get out of their own way
mm-hmm.
because your defense is that stout, like that is really what you look at as a defense kind of carrying you forward and playing a certain level of complementary football that gets you to that place. But yeah, man, I'm I'm real interested in this. Now, can I get Caserio here? Because I am interested in this, right? Obviously, this was the first game back. You're coming off a bye week, all those things where Christian Harris looks like he is fired out of a cannon. Mm-hmm. Nick Caserio, and this is a cut seven here, where with so many games in the next few games, Caserio was asked, are you monitoring Christian Harris' snaps? So obviously, they tried to do that in the first game, and Christian Harris wasn't having it. But I do wonder how the general manager feels about this going forward. With this team and Christian Harris.
It's a big thing. You just kind of go through the week. How are they recovering? How do they feel physically? Where's their mindset? Do they have any limitations? So understanding there's a little bit of a ramp up that's required. Yeah. So you play, say, back-to-back games of 65, 70, 80 plays. Could catch up with you. So we'll monitor it, and ultimately we'll do what we feel is best for the players.
Look, I think that's a lot of... not bunk, but I think they've already...
Bunk! My goodness!
They've made
not bunk!
I mean, D'Amico was talking about, yeah, we took him out a couple of plays, and he's just bouncing around on the sideline, right. Like, put me back in. I think they... And he's fresher than everybody.
Sure.
He clearly is healthy. There are no limitations, and he's making all kinds of plays.
And that's going to be necessary, as it seems like we're getting an idea, a little bit better of an idea, on Patrick Mahomes. Yes. Harris County and Aziz, week 18, is going to be a movie, 100%. But we're getting a little bit of a better idea on the game on Saturday. Did I say the right day that time?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Versus the Chiefs. As we're getting some news, Patrick Mahomes said that the injury has, quote, responded better, quicker than the high ankle sprain that he had in the playoffs versus Jacksonville 2 years ago.
He wants to be a warrior, doesn't he?
He playing, ain't he?
He wants to be a warrior. Look at Patrick Mahomes limping. You know he's gonna make some great play, you know, running 100 miles an hour and then get up like acting like he's limping.
Well, but here's the thing. What he gonna do? He gonna get up limping and then make that 100-yard run. Yeah. Like where was that?
Yeah, a little bit of a drama queen.
But I do think that, again, that ties back in. Like having the speed and that Christian Harris brings, and obviously the pressure that the defensive ends and everything, it's not going to be as easy for him to maneuver. And so he might really have to do this from the pocket.
He's a warrior, I tell you.
And mind you, right? And I understand that this is one of those things where when you talk about it, this is all on a curve. But it looks like this is one of the worst seasons that Patrick Mahomes has put up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, worse for Patrick Mahomes means something entirely different than worse for anybody else,
yes,
right?
It does.
But like this is not the Patrick Mahomes that we always talk about. Just off of the name alone, and I feel like it means a lot more than even that Christian Harris is there for you with that speed as well. Somebody said, "Who's this Christian Harris that I talk about?" What do you mean?
What? Were you not watching?
He made it back. Did you miss it? Did you miss a week? Are you just coming back? Did you take a trip and you were wondering when Christian Harris would come back? And now he's back, and you didn't hear it. Christian Harris is back, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Harris is back, and it feels good for this Houston Texans team. As their back-to-back AFC South champs. It wasn't really pertinent, but I felt like I should say it again. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're coming up on about 1220. We're in that window, admittedly, for a Texas Ticket Tuesday where we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to the Baltimore game. I guess you've been calling it the Beyonce game on Christmas. We will do that in this hour, I promise. But coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, you know, I dabble in gambling. Not Sean Pendergast level.
Is that legal here?
Oh, yeah.
So you're doing illegal activities?
No, there are ways. There are ways to get
you're
that
breaking
done.
The law.
Oh, my goodness.
There are ways. How do you know I'm breaking the law?
Where's your all pass?
I'm not at Tyler Milner's level or Sean Pendergast level, but I dabble. I saw the worst bad beat. You know, everybody knows what a bad beat is, right?
Looks, shout out to Scott Van Pelt making it very abundant what a bad beat is.
It's a lock. You're going to win the bet.
Except you don't.
You're good to go. And then something crazy happens and you don't. I think I might have seen the worst bad beat in the history of the NFL this morning. I saw it. So the over-under on David Montgomery's season total of rushing this year was 775.5 yards.
Easy money.
Easy money.
him and him and Jahmyr Gibbs, they be getting that rock. They be running that football.
Yeah, man.
100%.
Then he hurt his knee. His total for the year, 775.
Half yard short.
Whomever, and you know there were a lot of people that did it. You know, Lions, obviously, big time, you know, big time team.
And again, this one felt obvious.
Half a yard because of an injury in week 14.
I don't feel good about the things that are going through my mind right now. Because I'm not a gambler. I know myself well enough to know that would drive me up a wall.
Yeah.
And then down a wall and then up another one. Like that one, that would drive me wild, and I don't know what I'd be liable to do in that circumstance.
Even a statistical glitch, you know, that somebody didn't give him that extra, because you know if the ball's between the yardage markers, you can go, you know, whatever way.
There's somebody,
but it's touching the back.
There's somebody in a sports book right now, like, see, look, they didn't count. They didn't count that yard right.
Yeah,
5 weeks ago, they didn't count that route yard right. They said that was a 3 yard gain. That was a 4 yard gain. Give me my money.
775.5, and he hurts his knee at 775.
Are you trying to say?
That is the worst.
That Vegas hurt Dave Montgomery
point,
so they didn't have to pay out? Is that the conspiracy that you're laying out here?
Were they playing the Chiefs? No, I'm just kidding. Not really.
Unbelievable. No, that is a terrible beat. And it's just another reminder that I don't
and
like
yet
gambling.
I still go back to it.
Hey.
I still go back to gambling.
It's the cartel, man.
It is. What was her name?
Nicole. That's right, Greenhead. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Nicole was on to something, man. Mm-hmm. We should have never doubted her. She was a prophet. Mm-hmm. A prophet, I say. These are my confessions. What was that? Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're a few days removed. I see, this is what happens when I don't write things down.
I saw the light bulb go off.
The first confession before I even get to anything, I just realized I'm at a point in my life where I need to write things down. Mm-hmm. Just like all the things. Because I sit in that moment where I'm like, yeah, I'll remember. And then 2 seconds later, what was it that I was saying?
Yeah.
What I wanted to talk about was I have, in that same way where I forget very quickly, being a few days removed from sitting in that in the Women's Memorial, the Military Women's Memorial in Arlington, Virginia, where, I mean, it was a sobering place, but it was also just cold in there. And we were like, yo, it's kind of cold here. I can't wait to be back home. This morning, as I was getting ready, I saw that coat hanging up, and I was like, it would be nice if it was cool and be able to actually wear like cold weather gear.
You think he had nice coats. I got to give you guys credit.
That's the thing is like, especially seeing some of these other schmucks. Yeah. No, I'm just playing. It was cool. It was cool being with all these folks. But like, hey man, getting to like really dress it up with the cold weather gear.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, that was kind of nice. And thinking about that this morning, I was like, do you forget that you were cold?
Yeah.
Like, shout out to Michael Irvin, right? When we was playing in that cold weather, we was cold, right? Yeah. Like, that's how I felt at various points this weekend. And all it took was getting back here for a couple of days. Like, it'd be cool to be cold a little bit.
And see, that kind of made me appreciate people in Houston that dresses up when it's like 60 degrees that stuff.
The boots.
Yeah, because you ain't going to wear it again.
They get those boots going.
This is the only time you can do it. And on the East Coast, salute to people on the East Coast, but they had the point. They ain't trying to look pretty.
No.
They trying to stay warm, man. So they ain't out here trying to flex like we was.
It gets to 68 degrees, and I'm walking into this building, and you see every woman with their knee-high boots. They're literally, that they've been saving.
Gotta get this fit off.
They've been saving them.
If I don't get this fit off, it's till next year, baby.
Yeah, you ain't never going to wear it.
Maybe that little cold front that might hit you in February or something like that. Yeah. But other than that, like,
it's every year. It's like clockwork.
Right? Because, I mean, we're just getting to winter. But you never know if that winter actually is going to hit you in such a way where you can actually break out the gear, if it's just kind of going to be a hoodie winter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was looking at that coat, which is a full coat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that one might be gone for the year. It'd be nice to get one day. But I imagine if I get that day, I'll be upset as well. These are my
confessions. Man, Uncle Boot Man getting old, man.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Uncle Boot Man getting old. I saw everybody on this Al Gore's internet talking about Kaya.
Oh.
And I'm like, who is this? Everybody kept saying, why are these girls hating on Kaya? So I had to look up, see who is this Kaya y'all talking about?
How often, by the way, does that happen now where you're just like, I have to look up what's happening as opposed to be catching on fairly quickly?
So in my brain, I'm thinking like, if I see this person, I probably know. I'm like, oh, okay, that's who that is. So I looked it up, and this is the first thing I see.
Cooking with Kaya. Cooking with Kaya.
So I'm like,
was that the mac and cheese?
I have no idea.
She did
a mac and cheese.
She did a mac and cheese that looked kind of good that I kind of want to try and make.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
So if you're not familiar with her, like I was, cooking with Kaya, she cooks a lot of food, and she twerks.
Oh, I didn't actually. I didn't actually see. I must have seen a cut up somewhere else.
No,
I didn't
that's
know she
why
was twerking.
I was familiar with her. Remember?
Go ahead and cut that up for me. I need that one.
So she does this in the video.
Cooking with Kaya.
And then she started twerking and all this other stuff.
That's what I had seen.
And then she shows the food. Like what she get ready to cook.
So
apparently a lot of people was hating on her.
She's the Taylor Mathis of cooking. The Walking Betts of cooking.
Who's okay.
You've seen her.
Okay.
Walking Betts.
I didn't get it when you said Walking Betts.
I got you.
She's the Walking Betts of cooking.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, that's the only reason somebody had shown it to me or I came across it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I felt old, man. I'm like, who is this person, man? Why does everybody keep bringing this? Why is she popping up in my time? Like, not even her videos, but the name kept popping up in my timeline.
Yeah.
Like, who is that? So Uncle Boot Man felt old, man.
Honestly, the 281 said, Reggie, it's too late. You already snitched on yourself. I feel like I am honest enough that I'd be willing to tell you the truth about that. I feel more embarrassed about the fact that I didn't see that she was twerking and that it was just like, ooh, that mac and cheese looks good. Right? Like that is the place that I was at. I was like, ooh, that looks like something I'd like to make.
You saw the kid-friendly version of it.
I guess so. I really and truly did think, that looks good. I would like to make that mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm. I bet you will.
All right.
With Kaya.
No. I know enough to know that would be a bridge too far. If I can make this uncomfortable for everybody, she is 17 years old.
Oh,
y'all be careful.
Oh, did not know that.
Yeah. Stop that.
Who? I'm not familiar with
that. That's
her.
Right.
Anyway.
Correct.
All right. So my next confession, like, you know, much of the world, many people around the world, I love Christmas. Who doesn't love Christmas? It's always good.
Haters.
But we all hate certain things about Christmas, right? I have a new thing. That's my confession. I have a new thing that I hate about Christmas.
I need to figure out what I hate about Christmas.
Everybody has something that or bothers you about Christmas, whatever it may be. So over the last 2 days, the family group text has revolved around, can we open presents at 10 a.m.? Can we open? Because they're all older now and they have the other families, which is cool. I don't want to be that guy. So I will say, go do what you want to do. But anyway, like, no, I've got such and such in the morning. Can we open them at about 1? Well, I've got such and such. This is my 3 kids and their spouses. Can we open them up in the evening? And I'm like, it happens as you get older. Your kids get older and they go their own ways and you shouldn't even bother them. But I've decided we're going to open presents. Whatever, let's say 10 a.m., 9 a.m., whether you're there or not. Like, you can't, the whole gymnastics of scheduling when this family is here and that family is not and getting them all in the same place.
That's what you get for having a loving family and wants to spend time
with them. Well, I know, and that's the good part.
In your face.
But I just can't stand we all want to be, no.
I always find that to be interesting because I've never been a person that's been like, hey, we all have to open our gifts at the same time.
We are.
Yeah, nah, my family was never like that.
Really?
Yeah, by the time you come over, we didn't open our gifts. Yours is over there in the corner.
Honestly, half the time. Gifts wasn't even wrapped, right? Like,
that stinks.
That was towards the end.
That was towards the end.
But yeah, nah, we got to a point, man. Like,
I almost said something that was going to be real problematic for parents. My bad.
don't do it. Yeah. But man, we used to open our 12 o'clock that night, midnight,
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's all fair game. It's Christmas. Mm. Technically, it's Christmas. It's all fair game.
Yeah.
So whenever you come over the next day, hey, your gift's in the corner.
The scheduling is just getting.
Yeah, I'm not moving. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
All right, real quick before this one. Going back to the cooking with Kaya, apparently someone went and did the legwork. She is 22, so I guess continue. All right,
fair game.
I do remember who she is now.
All right, fair game. Good for you guys.
That jogged my memory. Yes.
Excellent. Very good for you guys.
That would have been wild. She was doing all that.
I saw that pass down on the timeline, and I was like, okay, so definitely not going there.
Yeah.
I do wonder if there's any level of feeling there for Titans fans. Not that I feel any level of sympathetic, but it is really bad. I might feel just a smidge sympathetic for Will Levis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Because it's pretty bad for Will Levis, right? Apparently, it was clear that Nissan Stadium fans had seen enough of him. This is when Callahan pulled him in after his fourth quarter turnover, right? He had 3 interceptions and a fumble. This is actually the third quarter, so it's third quarter. Tennessee fans started cheering. that he had gotten pulled, right? And they were giving a standing ovation to Mason Rudolph.
And you feel bad about that?
We know who Mason Rudolph
You're
is.
You're sympathetic?
I mean, I just...
I'm not.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I know. I also know how you feel about that woman. Yes. But I was just
you
like,
did it right.
Damn, you are done in these streets, huh? Which I don't know if, like, I think the confession is, I'm not sure if that's a good thing for me. Like, I kind of would want them to keep going
keep
on
going
that.
With Will Levis. Yeah.
I do think that this is going to be, we've talked about this a little bit. I think this is going to be a year mm-hmm. and offseason where that mid-level kind of quarterback, yeah. someone like a Sam Darnold, could be there. In fact, it could be Sam Darnold that ends up being the guy that they go and reach and get. Like, I do wonder, like, is this going to be one of those situations where they get, like, one of those mm-hmm. low-level veteran quarterbacks who can kind of just hold it down and yeah. it'll be a general nuisance to the Texans next year?
Yeah.
That is what I'm concerned about now that it's very evident.
Yeah,
that Will Levis
I was hoping Will Levis wasn't great, but just good enough.
Yes,
where they gotta,
that would have been perfect.
Where they got to keep rolling the dice with mm-hmm. him.
But it seems like that might not be the case.
Yeah.
They was literally cheering Mason Rudolph, and I've seen his movies. All right. You good, Fig?
We good,
very
man.
Good. All right. Somebody said Levis news is embarrassing for the Texans. They should have put him out of his job weeks ago. Touche. Fair enough.
Only yeah. quarterback that's had any degree of success here at NRG.
You know what? That's pretty common in the yeah. D'Amico era, man.
What do they say? The exception that proves the rule? Like, you kind of need one of those.
Yeah, that's
I guess.
Right.
That,
I guess
that happened
right.
last year.
That is the way that I choose to look at it because I do not see the other things that are actually the truth. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Why not now?
Why not now?
713-572-4610.
What's going on now?
Couple of tickets to the Baltimore Ravens game on Christmas. Yes, Texas Ticket Tuesday kicks on. And caller number, what are we going for?
Let's go with number 4.
Okay, caller number 4 now. Right now. 713-572-4610.
Keep it easy on Figgy.
Gets a couple of tickets to the Christmas Day game versus the Ravens. There'll be another giveaway during the drive, so keep it locked right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, college football on a Tuesday. It still rides, including, is this dude also going to be the next celebrity head coach in college football? We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Excited to help you slag at work, if that is indeed what you're doing, or if you're just rolling around great city of Houston. Or whatever you happen to be doing. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Texas Ticket Tuesday. Shout out to our winner. Do we have a
James
name?
Tally.
All right, shout out to James.
Outta baby James.
Shout out to James, who will be out at the Texans Ravens game. One more shot on the day. It's still a Texas Ticket Tuesday all the way through the drive. You'll be able to catch them boys later when they give away a pair of tickets there as well to that game. It's not the game that's most important this week, right? Obviously, the Texans still have the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you did not hear earlier, Patrick Mahomes said that this high ankle sprain that he's dealing with is, quote, getting better quicker.
He's setting it up.
Than the one that he dealt with against Jacksonville a couple years back.
Oh, it hurts.
Back.
Oh, it hurts a lot. But, yeah, I think I'll be out there.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Got to give it my all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might still see him on Saturday at Arrowhead.
Playing with pain.
Hey. Let's do a little college football on a Tuesday, though.
Let's do it.
We are headed into bowl season, baby. We are headed into bowl season, and there's still college football things to talk about. But before we get into, like, the bowls of it all, I guess this is a bowl thing as well. And this is, like, a larger scale bowl thing that is, I know, near to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Transfer portal,
mm-hmm.
Signing day, which was, you know, what was that, a week or two ago? And then bowl season and all this are all just in this jumble right in this time period. And this is starting to get real unsavory. We mentioned yesterday, was it yesterday? Monday, rather. No, yes, Monday was yesterday, right?
Monday was yesterday.
I don't know what days it is anymore, apparently. But yeah, we mentioned yesterday that the Independence Bowl has a whole different team in it because mm-hmm. Marshall was previously slated to play against Army in the Independence Bowl, but they dipped out because they have had a lot of transfers. Now, some people would argue, probably myself included, that they probably still had enough people to actually get out there and meet with this thing. But ultimately, they back out. Louisiana Tech will step in to the Independence Bowl. But that points to some of these situations, some of the new machinations of the college football system, including the transfer portal and how robust it's gotten,
yeah.
are making this awkward. And this, it's also hitting the college football playoff.
Yeah, it is.
As Penn State's backup quarterback, his name is Bo Pribula. I don't know if I said that correctly, but whether I said that correctly or not, he wrote a piece saying that he is going into the transfer portal. He called it an impossible decision seeing as the playoffs overlap with the open portal period. And so he's leaving the team a week before their first round pick, or first round game, rather. And so they're not going to have their backup quarterback. Drew Aller, obviously a solid one. And, you know, he's, if everything goes well, you wouldn't see the backup quarterback. But if he has to step off the field for a little bit, or God forbid he gets injured and is, you know, knocked out of a game, they're put in a real dire situation. And that's just a small indication of the weird way that the college football window is lining up in this modern era.
No, and I just to be honest here, it stinks. It needs to be adjusted, whether the portal or how they play this or whatever. But frankly, I don't blame him. I mean, there's going to be more of this. I mean, these are business decisions, man. I mean, if they're making all this money, they're businessmen. You know, and they have opportunity to play and make more money. It sucks. It just does. Hell, there were rumors about Arch Manning transfer portal and all this other stuff. Not going to happen. But I mean, you almost think like, well, I kind of get it if Quinn Ewers comes back, you know, even a player like Arch Manning. So it's just like, this is just the life that they're in, and they got to change the way they do it.
Yeah, but I think this is yet another indictment of the NCAA.
Oh, absolutely.
Not being proactive and allowing, you know, various things, various issues to fester because they're afraid to be honest and open about what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the NIL situation has just been the wild, wild west because there are no actual rules in place. So everybody is just pushing the bounds and trying things. We've had people, you know, guarantee money that ultimately they were not going to deliver on. And we've had all sorts of different nonsense because there are no actual rules in place as the NCAA falls ass backwards into these things. And then even with the transfer portal, as it's continued to get bigger, and as you move to even closer to like direct payment, there aren't rules. And this is another situation where they did not think ahead to be like, hey, signing day, when coaches are, you know, actually moving with the carousel, mm-hmm. when the playoff ultimately comes into effect, they're all in this same time period. And if you want to maintain any idea that these dudes are, you know, going to school, you have to find some time for them to be able to transfer to be ready for the spring semester. Like, you need to do some things to organize this a lot better so you don't have nearly as many of these like impossible decisions for players, for coaches, for administrations. Like, it just feels like they have not done the appropriate things to line everything up in a way that makes sense and is not pure and utter chaos.
I think most of what you said is absolutely true. I think that last thing is really the first thing that needs to be adjusted, like the window. The window for transfer portal versus the window for, the bowl games and coaches and all that. But part of the problem is semesters start in January. And so it's almost as if, like, if you're going to move the portal window, some of these guys aren't going to be able to get in school.
Well,
I know it's all a sham.
And
or
that's the thing is, like, we need to get to a point where we stop doing the sham.
I understand that, but they, like, it's a sham, but they have to be in school.
By the way, and I'm trying to remember who it was, but it was somebody who, like, good amount of money, investor type dude, mm-hmm. who was saying that we're probably close to a situation in which the schools are selling off portions of their football programs,
mm-hmm.
for, like, selling off equity. In football programs, which makes them even closer to like professional teams if they did operate in that way. Man, we are closer to this being like, I mean, this has always operated, or at least for a long time has operated like professional sports. We're getting closer to this being like in full effect of professional sports.
Yeah, but again, until then, you do have to get into school, and maybe that's a big factor.
There. Or maybe the NCAA continues to do things that they always do, which is just let it fester.
And quit saying student athlete.
Well, I ain't said that in a long time.
Well, I know, neither have I. But like all these tournaments, the student athletes.
Student athletes.
Okay, maybe the guy's watching.
Student athletes.
You know.
Speaking of student athletes, there's a possibility that there is going to be a new guy dealing with some student athletes. Michael Vick is apparently in talks to coach either Norfolk State or Sacramento State about a head coaching job. I believe this was put out. The idea is, you know, Michael Vick, clearly NFL player, a lot of knowledge on football. He's done, you know, media things as well. And according to an ESPN report, he's expressed interest in the position, and he has met with the Sacramento State about the potential of doing that. The AD at Sacramento State said, as you can imagine, given the success of our athletic programs, that our head football coach job is an attractive role. So first of all, it does feel like a lot of programs are trying to go the route of celebrity head coach. Mm-hmm. And I do want to make that clear that I'm not just talking about dude who played in the league just getting a job. Because there are dudes that are played in the league that then go and coach and they work their way up.
Sure.
Mike Vick doesn't have any any coaching experience. Like, this would just be dropping in. I think that that is the thing that is interesting, is that it seems like people are trying to get, I don't know if it's the Deion effect or whatever, but they're like, hey, can we just get a name to drop in here and see if it works?
I think a big part of it is the Deion effect. I think we'd be silly to say anything otherwise. But again, and maybe I'm just looking at it completely wrong. If you're Sacramento State, whether he has experience or not, and you have interest in, and Michael Vick has interest in you, you do it.
What you got to lose?
Yeah, you absolutely do it. You know, you were talking earlier, like, at least Deion Sanders had coached in high school. Then, of course, he went to
Jackson State
and all that. That's a little bit of a better path, a lot better path. But if you're Sac State, why not?
Well, I mean,
let's get some butts in the seats
and money in the coffers.
I mean, if you're Sac State, you might be doing this for entirely different reasons as well, though. As I believe, was it Adam Schefter that did some reporting on this?
Oh, my goodness. This and was my favorite thing of the day.
Doug Gottlieb started calling out Adam Schefter for this because he felt like Adam Schefter was just
parroting. I don't know why I love this so much.
He was just parroting what Sacramento State was giving him on some of these things, right? Like, the idea is, hey, man, you're taking what Sacramento State is saying, you know, just wholesale and just putting it out there, which honestly, I do think ends up being a problem with some of these things. You take your sources.
But not this one.
Your sources used in the media, right? Sac State is claiming that they have, what, $50 million in NIL?
Schefter said all this about Mike Vick and $50 million, et cetera. Doug Gottlieb, who I believe has a coaching job.
He does.
Says,
Green Bay.
Jesus, Schefty. Edit what agents tell you. There's a 0.0% chance Sac State has $50 million in NIL. Well, Adam Schefter fact-checked him and mic dropped. He did the old 1-2. First, the fact-check, he said that the Sac-12, leading the school's NIL efforts, already has announced that it has, in fact, reached its initial goal of raising $50 million in NIL funds. So there's the fact-check. And then he did the little walk-away, and take that with you, the little jab at the end. And Jesus, Doug, a 7-game losing streak and last place in the Horizon League. Less time on social media and more time in the gym.
Good for Doug Gottlieb, honestly. You want to know why I say good for him? It used to be that if you wanted to get back at Doug Gottlieb, you would just mention credit cards.
Now it's his record.
And now you can
just 7-game losing streak.
Now you are being clowned on the content of your character. Yeah. So shout out to you, Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah.
Yikes. We did mention earlier that Coach Prime, as he likes to be called, Deion Sanders at Colorado, on the Pac-Man Jones podcast, said that he wants to stay in Colorado. And I understand why people are like, yeah, I don't know if I believe that. But this would give you some idea of believing it. Jaheim Otis, who is a top defender, defensive tackle, new number one defensive player in the transfer rankings from Alabama, has committed to Colorado. 6'5", 320-pound junior. Was one of the most coveted players in the transfer portal, number 5 in the overall rankings, and he will be playing at Colorado.
And a huge get, whether Deion stays there or not. I mean, I think it's still, you can still argue it either way. You know, he said, yeah, I love it here. I love it here. We've heard that before. But if he stays, that's a big building block. The thing that is interesting about this to me, you said where, you know, he came from Alabama. Alabama fans are losing their minds. Devontae Smith, top cornerback, apparently visiting Notre Dame and in the transfer portal. A report, not a rumor, a report, I don't know if it's accurate, out there that Ryan Williams, you know, the receiver that burst onto the scene.
The kid who was like 19 years old?
17.
17?
17
Sorry,
years
I
old.
I did the wrong age because I was thinking Jason Tatum.
Yeah, that burst onto the scene against Georgia. There's a report that he's entering the transfer portal. Life's a little different at Alabama these days, man. You got those three guys, all top players in the country, reportedly entering the transfer
portal. Yeah, it's crazy because Alabama has, like, they have the institutional things and the institutional want to constantly be up there. But it's a whole different era. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like your kind of status can change very quickly because of all of the different things that are happening in college football with NIL and such and the transfer portal and everything. Hey, Kalen DeBoer, they might be even more unreasonable down there. It's like, hey, man, I understand that Georgia kind of has become what Alabama once was, but this doesn't even feel close to, like, this feels like a far departure that you have guys losing in this way. So, one, you better, that recruiting better continue to replenish. And two, win some games next year, dog. It'll get real bad if those people are mad at you for far too long here. Some other things I wanted to mention. Shout out to Bill Belichick.
Did you see the picture?
No, I did not.
I got to show you the picture.
Please do.
So Bill Belichick got his first transfer portal signing. And this so funny because it was clearly like, hey, photo op, you know, Bill Belichick with his first with Christo Kelly. He transferred from Holy Cross to North Carolina. Let's get Belichick in here. This will be awesome. His hair is all messed up. He's got that cowlick sticking out the side of his head. He's got this.
Look, he's not here to be pretty. He's here to coach football.
He's got
look.
The sweatshirt on.
Football.
Arms in his pocket.
Hands in his pocket. And he's looking at this dude like, just sign the damn paper.
I got film to watch.
I mean, did you see this? This is incredible. Like, he's just like, yeah. He didn't want any part of that. But he's like, I guess this is what I got to do now. That's a big part of his job, man. Yeah.
That is now. But I mean, look,
just wait till he get Arch Manning. Then I think he crack a smile.
All right, well, you're doing a lot. One of the things that we've always known about him is that he never looks happy doing his job, but apparently he is very happy. Mm-hmm. Someone who I'm sure is not happy in having to do his job is Dabo Swinney. He finally broke his general MO, and for the first time in his tenure has gotten a non-quarterback transfer to his team. So shout out to the Dabo Swinney of Clemson actually bringing in a player in the transfer portal.
What did he say back in the day that NIL stood
Oh, yeah,
for?
He said if players are getting paid, I quit my job. And apparently he did not mean that because he's still out here working.
Yeah. I mean, look, whatever. I mean, he's a different kind of guy anyway. But
dork.
If you're going
to
compete.
I'm going to grandstand. I don't want any of these other people to get paid except for me. Oh, y'all actually getting paid? I won't go through with it.
Yeah.
I didn't mean any of that.
Yeah, that's exactly what
just
happened.
Just being a jerk. Mm-hmm. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. Let's make the case for All-Pro Stingley. You've heard a lot about All-Pro Stingley, especially after the two interception, two tackle for loss game from the cornerback for these Texans. Let's make the All-Pro case next.